Well, the title of the message today is The Feast of Trumpets Proclaim the Truth. The Feast of Trumpets Proclaim the Truth. Go with me again back to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 23. I want to begin here today again. Leviticus 23, verse 23, with the Feast of Trumpets, as revealed to Moses, as Moses spoke these words from Jesus Christ. It says here in Leviticus 23, verse 23, then the Lord here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the spokesman of the Old Testament. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. We looked at that on the Sabbath. A holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. This day, this Feast of Trumpets proclaims the time in the future when Jesus Christ shall return to this earth to get directly involved in the affairs of all mankind. Directly involved. Upon his arrival, he shall resurrect the saints of God at the sound, the trua of the trumpet. At the sound of the trumpet. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 50. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 50. Moses speaks about this. We can go from Moses all the way here to the New Testament, to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul here speaking upon the inspiration of Jesus Christ, the same Lord that inspired Moses. Here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All be changed. That promise is not just to the saints of God alive now or who have died. That's a promise that is held out for all humanity if they decide to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There's a time when this will take place. When will it take place? For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is our work. We have to abound in the work of the Lord, be involved in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then Jesus Christ, as he walked this earth, makes clear this truth again about the fact that he is going to return, as well as the truth about the resurrection. We see it here, saw it back in Leviticus, we see it in 1 Corinthians, but Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, also spoke very clearly about the same truth. Go with me to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. This day proclaims the truth. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth. And here in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, Jesus Christ reiterates this truth. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Christ wants us to believe, to know, to believe. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That is where Jesus Christ has gone. And if I go to prepare a place for you, number one, I will come again. Jesus Christ absolutely will come again. He says, believe me, believe the Father, I'm going to return. And then number two, he says, receive you to myself. Jesus Christ will resurrect the saints. In order for Jesus Christ to receive us to himself, we will need to be resurrected. Most of us will likely have to be resurrected. Those who are dead will have to be resurrected. That where I am, and we know Jesus Christ will be on this earth, you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus Christ said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This discussion between Jesus Christ and his disciples had to do with the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ returned to this earth and the resurrection of the saints and the reward that Jesus Christ would bring back with him, that reward of eternal life. And he says, believe me and believe the Father. Jesus Christ's return to this earth is imminent. It will take place. It will occur. To be in the kingdom of God, we must know, as was covered by Mr. Cannon, we must know that Jesus Christ is the way, Jesus Christ is the truth, Jesus Christ is the life. Jesus Christ speaks the truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. And it's going to be that truth that we're going to focus on today. It can be difficult at times for us to hold on to the truth. To hold on to the hope, to hold on to the assurity that Jesus Christ will return. But it's going to occur. It absolutely is going to occur. As depicted by the Feast of Trumpets, sometime in the future, Jesus Christ shall return. The saints of God, the first fruits of God, shall be resurrected from the death, and they shall receive the wonderful reward of eternal life. This is truth. This is absolute truth. Christ currently is in heaven preparing a place for you, for me. The things that we are going through in this life, the health issues that we're dealing with, the family issues that we're dealing with, all that we are encumbered with is all a part of preparing us, if we are faithful, for the place that God is preparing for us in his kingdom. Don't discount anything that you go through. When you go through the issues of this life, go through it on your knees because it's part of the preparation. It's part of the preparation, and Jesus Christ is in heaven preparing a specific place for you. This is the truth of Scripture. This is the truth of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. So on this Feast of Trumpets, let's look a bit closer into two truths of Scripture embedded in the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. Two truths. Number one, the Feast of Trumpets proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ's return. The Feast of Trumpets proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ's return. Jesus Christ said, I will come again. We have to know that. We have to believe that. He says, believe me, believe the Father, I will come again. And the number two that we'll look at, the Feast of Trumpets proclaims the truth of the resurrection. The Feast of Trumpets proclaims the truth of the resurrection. I will receive you to myself. I will receive you to myself. So let's begin with number one. Point number one, the Feast of Trumpets proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ's return. I will come again. Jesus Christ's family shall return to this earth. Do you know that? Do you know that for certain? The Feast of Trumpets marks the day in history of mankind when Jesus Christ will intervene in the affairs of the governments of this world. not just of the earth. When the trumpet blasts, when the sound is heard, it will proclaim that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Go with me back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. It says here in Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. The Greek word for world here, the world has become, the Greek word for world here is cosmos. It means the universe, the whole adornment of the earth, the heavens, and all of its systems. When Jesus Christ returns to be King of kings and Lord of lords, he's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords over everything. Everything. Jesus Christ shall reign over the universe, including the earth. How desperately do we need that today? Boy, you know, how different would the world be today if Jesus Christ were ruling? That's what we're looking forward to. It is very easy to see the impact of the pale horse of pestilence riding across the earth right now. You know, whatever the source of COVID is, whether it is from an animal to human transition or transfer, or it was cooked up in a lab somewhere, people are dying. People are sick. Now, are all the people who are dying right now dying from COVID? No, you have to understand how the medical system works. Once the government says that, look, if you have a patient in your hospital that dies from COVID, we're going to give you X number of thousands of dollars. Guess what? Everybody died from COVID. That's just the way the system works. One of the things that I had began looking at, I guess I was looking at so many different careers when I was trying to figure out what to do, was hospital administration. In hospital administration, it's about balancing the books, making sure you get everything from the government that they're going to pay, making sure you collect all the insurances, and making sure that your patients are taken care of. Well, unfortunately, in the world, the capitalist society that we live in today, hey, if the government says they're going to give me $2,000, $8,000, $10,000 for every patient that dies of COVID, guess what? If you're not an honest broker of hospital administration, everybody that dies is going to have COVID. So how much faith do you put in all the numbers? No, you don't put faith in any of the numbers. But you do recognize that people are dying. You do recognize that people are getting sick. I mean, I do definitely know different people and family members and extended family members and friends of others who would be alive today if it had not been for COVID. That is the truth. That is part of the world that we live in. This world is sick. This world is dying. We know that prophecy tells us that these things are going to take place. It's going to take place as the return of Jesus Christ begins to near. This is a reality. This is a truth. And it doesn't matter today whether you're living in a capitalist or non-capitalist society. It doesn't matter today if you're in a rich country or a poor country with this particular disease. It's amazing that we're fighting the same type of disease that they're fighting in a place like Ethiopia, where there is no healthcare system or healthcare support. It shows that this pale horse is riding. The World Health Organization, I came across this article from the World Health Organization dated August the 5th, 2021. It says the World Health Organization has designated variants, not only Delta, but they have now designated variants Eta, Lota, Kappa, and Lambda, variants of interest, and is tracking 13 additional variants that originated in the United States, Brazil, Philippines, Indonesia, and Colombia with regard to COVID-19. That's just the reality of where we are. This is a forerunner of where things will be. Will God allow this to just continue to escalate? And next thing you know, we have Delta, and then we have Eta, then we have Lota, then we have Kappa, then we have Lambda, and the first is worse than the prior? Or the latter is worse than the prior? We don't know. But what we do know is that prophecy tells us that things are going to get pretty bad before Jesus Christ returns. We do know that. Pestilence is in the headlines today like never before in this century. And because pestilence is in the headlines, suddenly we forget about the fact that there's also the red horse of war that's riding as well. We get so locked in on the media, we forget to step back as the children of God. We need to step back and see the panoramic view of all the things that are happening. The red horse of war is also riding. There is a crucible of hatred and war and sin on every side. It's all leading to something very cataclysmic, very catastrophic. Do we know that? This world cannot continue to escalate forever and ever in its hatred, its anger, its rage, pestilence, and death. And because this is Satan's world at this time, as God allows, Satan will assure that the most terrible implements of death, of war, will fall into the hands of the most evil in civilization. You know, my particular hope is that the COVID virus did come about as a result of an animal to human transition. Because if it was cooked up in a lab, then that means it's just another method of destruction that someone's going to get their hands a hold of and use it in greater ways to bring down humanity. See, it doesn't take a whole lot to think about what something like that can do. Okay, well, this is what we're going to do now that we have it in the hands of the evil. We're going to inoculate all of our people against this strain now that we've cooked up, and then we're going to spread it out to everyone else. So everybody else will die, but our particular group will stay alive. Is that too far-fetched to think about? You remember what happened in World War II with Hitler? Remember all the things that he was cooking up in his labs and by his scientists, trying to create the Aryan race? Is it too far-fetched? That was just, you know, 80 years ago. Things are going to get worse. And unfortunately, today, these evil implements of war are at the fingertips of others. It's available on the internet. Here's the formula. You need to find the materials, but soon the materials will be made available. But God says, yes, this is where this world is headed. So not only do we have pestilence that's riding, we have the red horse of war that's riding. As a precursor to Jesus Christ's return, those trumpets are blasting. You know, World War III, whatever it will be called, will be horribly devastating. And it is going to come. You see, just last month, in the midst of all of the pandemic news, just a little teeny byline of the fact that Russia and China had war games of 13,000 troops in southwestern China. Had war games, successful war games of major, major scale in southwestern China during August. Didn't reach the news. Barely reached the news. What happens if that world power begins to come on the scene? They join forces for some period of time. Jesus Christ will return. These things will escalate. Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus Christ tells us that these things will happen. He will return. The necessity of his return will become imminent, will become necessary. Matthew 24, verse 21, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be." This will happen. "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Jesus Christ will return and shorten those days. This is truth. Jesus Christ said, "Believe the Father and believe me." This is the truth of Scripture. You see, the faithful have been waiting for these events to take place for over 2,000 years. But clearly, there has been no time in human history like today where the very fate of humanity, the very fate of human life, on the face of the earth could be utterly destroyed. And again, where the methods of human annihilation are available on the open internet. We face a time when the world is divided, where the world cannot identify and come together and even identify what evil is. You know, will there ever be a unification of the United Nations to be able to point out and say, no, that particular thing that that nation did was evil. And what if it's, Russia and China? Who's going to stand up and call it evil? Could even all the other nations come to agreement that that's evil? It's wrong, whatever it is? We can see that these things can grow very quickly to the place where Jesus Christ's return will become imminent. You can just jot down Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says this, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. That is not just true on our individual level. That's true on the national level. Shame on us if we have our eggs in the basket of any government that comes along. They cannot direct their own steps. Do some walk a little better than the others? Yeah. It's like someone that's a little less drunk than the other guy. But the nations cannot direct their own steps. The truth of that statement by Jeremiah becomes more and more apparent as years pass by. The crucible of human annihilation, not just the crucible of war, is closer than ever before. Matthew 24, let's drop down to verse 23. Because not only do we have, before Jesus Christ's return, pestilence, and we have war, we have death, but we also have to realize that there will be spiritual deception. It says here in verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So you take all that's happening right now, and I mean, just picture the fact, you have coronavirus going crazy, you got 13 different variants killing people, you have war taking place, and suddenly on the scene comes this great, powerful prophet who's able to do miracles. And say, just touch your television or touch your phone and I can heal you. And it happens. And it happens. How many nations, how many people would then begin to follow a false prophet? Whoever they might be. The world is ripe for that right now. It's ripe for a false savior. But look what Jesus Christ says in verse 25. He says, see, I have told you beforehand. You know, having kept this a secret from my saints, I have told you beforehand. Jesus Christ is the truth. He has made these things clear to us. Verse 26. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out there. I don't care what kind of miracles he's doing. I don't care what kind of healing potions he has. Don't go out there. You might find yourself bowing down, etc. Well, all you have to do is bow down to me. We have the story of Daniel. All you have to do is bow down to me. These days are coming. Look, he's in the inner rooms. Don't believe it. Verse 27, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. You're not going to have to wonder if it's Christ when Christ returns. Everybody's going to know it. No one is going to have to say he's over here or he's over there. But does the world understand this? Do we understand this? Because the world is getting ripe for all of these things to take place. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will return. He absolutely will return. Go with me over to Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Zechariah 14, beginning in verse 1. Jesus Christ, through the prophet Zechariah, prophesied about these awesome events He prophesied about these awesome events. They are going to take place one day. It says here in Zechariah 14, verse 1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst." Now, this word spoil not only means plunder, what you gather as a result of war, but more prophetically, this word spoil means gain and profit. Your gain and profit is going to be divided. I have $100,000 in my 401k. I'm set up for retirement. Boom, something happens. $50,000 is gone overnight. Now I have $50,000. I think I can make it now. Boom, now it's down to 25. And while it's going down to 25, inflation is going through the roof. Where's your hope? Where's your eyes? This is what he says here. Your spoils, your profits, your gain will be divided. It may be hard to believe at times as you look around Boca Raton and up at the Gold Coast and go down to Miami Beach and see all the big yachts out there looking so beautiful, like they're going to always be there. It may be hard to believe that for some of our young women, or some of our young men, that very easily they can be making $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year in their careers. Numbers that, those who are in, 50, 60, 70, 80s would just drop almost dead over making that kind of money. But that's the kind of money that our young people have the potential of making today. Absolutely. There are young people in the church, young adults in the church who are making that and more in this capitalist society. The deal is, don't be lulled to sleep. Enjoy it. Work for it. Enjoy the careers. Work for the good living. But don't be lulled to sleep by the money. Zechariah says one day, boom, gone, in half. There will come a time when the spoils, the gains and the profits, the wealth, the 401k, the stock market, the bonds, the savings, cryptocurrencies, home values, real estate will lose their value. Strong companies dissolve. International business alliances implode. It won't just be an economic turndown, but war visiting the shores of this nation and every nation. Pestilence raging, false religion reigning, death ruling. Now, having stated this truth, is not a truth in which we as the people of God should fear or panic. It's not a truth that we should fear or panic. It's a truth that tells each of us that as we build our physical future, and we should be building our physical future, but to make certain that we are also building our spiritual character and that we're building our spiritual future. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. There will come a time possibly in our lifetime or in the lifetime of your children or possibly in the lifetime of the grandchildren when the return of Jesus Christ will be desperately necessary. And it will take place. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is coming. It will take place. Continue here in Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 2. Continue in verse 2. It says, "For I will gather the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Verse 3. "The Lord will go forth to fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." This will happen. It will happen. "Which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall split in two from east to west, making a large valley. Half the mountain shall move towards the north, half of it towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azael. Yes, you shall flee as you fled in the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus, the Lord my God will come." He will come. That is for sure. That is certain. We must know this as truth. This is the truth of Jesus Christ. He will come. Not only does the prophet Zechariah proclaim the truth regarding Jesus Christ's return, but the spirit world. We looked at Moses over in Leviticus. We looked at the Apostle Paul there in Corinthians. We look at Jesus Christ himself in John. But the angelic world, the spiritual world, also proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ's sure and certain return. Go with me to Revelation 11. Revelation 11 in verse 16. Revelation 11 in verse 16. Jesus Christ shall return. Here in Revelation 11 in verse 16 it says this, and the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we thank you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. This is the angels. This is the 24 elders. These are angelic beings of power and might. They are also proclaiming the return of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have taken your great power and reigned. How much more evidence do we need? We have to know that Jesus Christ is the truth. We have to believe what Jesus Christ says. He says, believe me and believe the Father. Jesus Christ is the truth. He shall return as the Feast of Trumpets proclaims. Revelation 19, verse 11. Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the truth. And when Jesus Christ says he shall return, he shall return. This is the truth. Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, now I saw heaven open. This is John speaking here. And behold, the white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. Faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were on, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Faithful and true. That's his name. Faithful and true. I am the truth. The Feast of Tabernacles proclaims the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ's return. There will come a time in the future where except Jesus Christ's return, no flesh, no human being will be left alive except he returns. But for the elect's sake, for the elect's sake, for the sake of his saints, those days will be shortened. But even more astounding than Jesus Christ's return is truth number two. Truth number two. Truth number two is this. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. He says, I will receive you to myself. When I return, I'm going to return. When I return, I'm going to receive you to myself. That is only possible through a resurrection. Through a resurrection. The power and truth of the resurrection is made no clearer than the prophesied and fulfilled resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ said that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And that is exactly what took place as we commemorated during the Passover season. But the Feast of Trumpets proclaims the truth that Jesus Christ was the first of the first fruits to be resurrected. And as Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave, nor shall we. Do you know that? You know it in your bones. You know absolutely that because Jesus Christ was resurrected as the first of the first fruits, if I am in my grave, I shall absolutely because I have remained faithful, rise from the grave, be resurrected. You know that absolutely. As Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave, nor shall we. Jesus Christ shall receive us. He shall resurrect us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. This day proclaims the truth of the resurrection. I will receive you to myself. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Incredible truth. Every single human being who has ever lived shall be made alive. Every one of them. Verse 23, but each one in its own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, those who are Christ, when? At his coming. At his coming. This is spectacular truth. This is truth that, again, is simply unbelievable. How could life return into a deceased corpse? How could life, return back into a deceased corpse? How could that be? Will that really happen? Will the saints of God, as proclaimed by the feast of trumpets, truly be brought back to life? To life. Look, I never thought growing up in the church that I would marry. Never thought that I would have children. Never thought I'd go through, 35 years of a successful career, that my wife and I retire in our 50s from our careers, and then have the added blessing of working for the church of God, or as Mr. Frank says, working for God in my later years. Never thought. I never thought in this life that my wife and I would be responsible for burying all of the arrangements, the cost, the details around the death of my grandmother, my grandfather, my father, and my mother. Never thought. Never thought. Christ was supposed to return to this earth long before these things occurred. My father assured me of that. He assured me of that. That is what I was told as a child growing up in the church. Well, my grandparents and my parents are in the grave awaiting the resurrection. So I'm not going to try to scare anyone into believing in Christ's return. I was scared into believing. You better get it together. Christ is going to come back. You're not going to be ready. I'm not going to try to scare anyone into believing in Christ's return or in the resurrection as proclaimed by the Feast of Trumpets. I will simply tell you that Jesus Christ is the truth. You must choose to believe and order your life based on that truth, no matter when Christ returns. Doesn't matter when he returns. You need to order your life. I need to order my steps accordingly. Whenever Jesus Christ returns. These events, as prophesied in Scripture, will take place. Make sure certain that as you live your life, you are living it based on the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ is the truth. And teaching this truth to this next generation is very important. We need to teach it to our children, teach it to the grandchildren. It is very possible. And I say of myself, very, very likely that I will be in the grave awaiting the resurrection at Jesus Christ's return. Now, I hope that doesn't cause anyone to be a little bit discouraged in any way. That's just my particular perspective. It's a very positive perspective. It's not a pessimistic perspective. It's a very positive perspective. I think a realistic perspective from my viewpoint that I will very likely be in the grave awaiting for Jesus Christ's return. And for the saints of God and those who are baptized and have God's Holy Spirit, it shouldn't really matter. It shouldn't really matter whether or not I'm in the grave or if in 2023 Jesus Christ comes back. It really shouldn't matter for me, and it really shouldn't matter for you if we're ordering our steps according to the truth of God. The great and merciful God provided ironclad truth, however, of a resurrection to be retained in Scripture for us. He provided ironclad proof of the resurrection to be retained in Scripture for us, the resurrection back to life of a man who had been dead at least 4 days. This is here for us to know absolutely that Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Jesus Christ shall return. This individual was in the grave for 4 days where his body began to clearly and obviously decay. That man was Lazarus. It was Lazarus. Jesus Christ, the truth, said he would resurrect Lazarus, and he did. Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection. I am the truth. So if Jesus Christ says that we will be resurrected, rest assured, as sure and certain as Lazarus was resurrected, although back to physical life, we shall absolutely be resurrected. And for the saints of God, the first fruits of God be given spiritual life. Absolutely. You have to know that and absolutely know that. Again, back in John 14, verse 3, as we read, he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. That's only possible this time for my parents, for my dad, and for my mom, and my granddad, and my grandmom, through a resurrection. And Jesus Christ speaks the absolute truth. And if I'm in the grave, that will be the absolute truth for me. Let's take a look at the resurrection of Lazarus as sure and certain proof of the power, the desire, and the truth of Jesus Christ to resurrect us. Not again back to physical life, as was the case for Lazarus, but back to spirit life for us. Sure and certain proof. The resurrection of Lazarus foreshadows and provides a dramatic view into a resurrection made possible by the truth, by Jesus Christ, who said, I am the truth. And this, as tremendous as this event was, the resurrections of the saints of God will be even more powerful and more spectacular than this. Go with me back to John. John chapter 11. Let's begin this story picking it up in verse 17. John chapter 11, in verse 17. This is what we must look forward to. This is where our eyes has to be, yes, on the return of Jesus Christ, but if I'm dead at the time, I'm not going to see that happen unless Jesus Christ resurrects me. So that's where our focus must be. That's what we must look forward to. If Jesus Christ returns before our death, it's not just his return, but it's a promised truth of the resurrection. John chapter 11, verse 17. John chapter 11, verse 17. The story of Lazarus. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Will rise again. Do we know that? Do we know that? Do you know that you will rise again? This is the truth. This is the promise made to Lazarus as historical and scriptural proof for us. You know, I pray that the saints of God, that we're growing to a place where it's not death that we fear. I pray that we're growing to a place where it's not death, you know, it's not the physical absence of life that we fear. Maybe what we fear is going through the death process in terms of health failure and the pain and the suffering that can accompany that. Maybe it's the fear that will happen to our loved ones, the fear about our loved ones when we die. You know, what will be their state? Will they be able to take care of things? But I pray that we are growing in faith and know with absolution because of the truth of God, and that it's not faith, it's not death that we fear, that we know that we shall rise again. That we know that. See, Martha knew intellectually, but there seemed to be some lack of realization that Jesus Christ was the truth. He said, your brother will rise again, but there's some measure of doubt here. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What powerful truth that the world doesn't understand just about that. See, right here, we tell us right here that Lazarus was not in heaven. Lazarus had not received his wings. He hadn't received his crown. Lazarus was in the grave. And Martha said, I know that he will be resurrected at the last day. Very fundamental truth that we understand that the vast majority of the Christian world does not. Here's a friend of Jesus Christ, close friend of Jesus Christ. If anyone would have died and immediately went to heaven, it would have been Lazarus. But Martha said, he's in the grave. And I know that he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. But Martha knew that promise intellectually. She was sure and certain about it intellectually. But her brother's death was painful. It was sad. It was discomforting, as sickness and death in this life is for us. But Jesus Christ did not want Martha and Mary to allow the reality of sickness and death in any way to cloud the truth of the power of the resurrection. So he continues here in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother will rise again. She said, I know he's going to rise again at the last day. Jesus Christ said, Mary, you don't get it, Martha. You don't understand, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you really believe this? You gave me an intellectual response. Some of us have been around this way of life for many, many years. Is our understanding of the truth of God just simply an intellectual exercise? Or do we know it down to the very core puzzles of our being? The truth of God. That's the question. On this Feast of Trumpets, we celebrate the truth of the resurrection at the last day made possible by Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection. Do we believe? Jesus Christ seemed to sense that at some level there was doubt in Martha. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She's depressed. She's discouraged. This hit her hard. And even though Jesus Christ was standing there, she says, you know, I believe intellectually this, but she didn't even respond to his question regarding, do you believe that I'm the resurrection? She couldn't bring herself to believe that he was and is the resurrection. Martha's response was not a reply to Jesus Christ's statement, I am the resurrection and the life. It was an intellectual, factual reply regarding the resurrection at the last day. Do any of us want to die? Do any of us want to see our loved one die, our wives or our husband die? No. But do you know beyond intellectual understanding that as sure and certain as there is life in us now, that we shall be resurrected upon Jesus Christ's return? Verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly or privately called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." Martha's heart is broken over the loss of her brother. Martha knew of the resurrection, but did not fully believe the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Verse 29. As soon as she, Mary, heard that, she rose quickly, came to him. Verse 30. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came to the place where Jesus was, he saw her. She fell down at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Christ, you arrived too late. You arrived too late. You returned too late. You didn't come back in time. You know, I thought that Jesus Christ would come in time before my dad died, would come in time before my mom died, would come in time before my grandparents died. I used to think that he would come in time before I died. But the truth that Jesus Christ is teaching us here is it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ will always be on time. But Mary and Martha didn't quite understand that yet. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Mary and Martha thought that Christ needed to have returned in time to make a difference in the life of their brother. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is why it is so important for you and for me to not get too fixated on this life or too obliterated by death. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the life. You know, as a child, even into my mid-20s, I thought that Jesus Christ would return before my parents died, but he did not return in time. He did not return in time. And again, Jesus Christ may not return in time before I die. Jesus Christ may not return in time before you die. Jesus Christ did not return to the home of Martha and Mary in time before Lazarus died. The question is, are we doing what we must be do, what we must do to be resurrected? That's the question. Are we doing what we must do to be resurrected? Are we living our lives in such a way to be resurrected? Because when Christ returns, it will be in time. It will be in time. Verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This word groan in the spirit means to restrain oneself, to subdue or to curb one's inner emotions forcefully. When Jesus Christ saw this, he was sad by them. He says, we have to do something because they have lost hope. They do not see me as the resurrection. They doubt that I am the resurrection, and he groaned. They did not know the power of Jesus Christ, that he is the truth. He is the resurrection. By our actions and by our thoughts and whatever circumstances that we face, do we doubt the truth of Jesus Christ? You know, are you facing an illness? Are you facing that great fearful C word? And that's not COVID, that's cancer. Are you facing that great and fearful C word where a cell has gone out of control somewhere in your body, in the skin, or some organ, or in the brain, or in the lung? Or are you really facing issues with this pandemic, COVID? Or facing death itself because of age or some other illness? We must not doubt the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Jesus Christ seemed to be troubled, not because of their sorrow, but because of their lack of faith in him as the resurrection. Verse 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" You see, there will always be doubters. You know, I prayed for this cancer to go away. I prayed to be healed, and it didn't happen. My husband died. My wife died. You know, and when that happens, does doubt come in? It does. But that is why Jesus Christ has these things for us, to uplift us. There will always be doubters, and at times when our prayers aren't answered the way that we would like or the way that we expected, doubt can enter our mind regarding God's word and the power of God's promise and the promises of God. Verse 38, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Maybe the sorrow of Martha and Mary over the loss caused Jesus Christ to weep. But it was the doubt in Jesus Christ as the truth, as the resurrection, that likely caused him to groan. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord," she's a very practical one, "Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Don't roll that stone back, Christ. Leave that stone alone." You see, when you have a mortician in the family, as my son is, Edwin, you learn terminology around death and decay that you could have lived a lifetime not knowing. I asked my son Edwin several years ago. He's been in this business since he was about 14 and a half to 15. I asked my son Edwin many years ago, "What would the state of Lazarus's body have been after 4 days?" He said, "Well, given the time of the year, the warm climate, the darkness and possible added moisture in the cave, the body would have been experiencing what is called slippage." Why did I have to ask what slippage was? But since I went through the grief, I'm going to have you go with the grief with me, because misery loves company. Why did I have to ask what slippage is? Well, Edwin, what is slippage? Well, that's where the body, because of decay, the tissues begin to break down, gravity takes hold, and the skin begins to slip or move from the body, from its normal place, and the body distorts. The skin distorts, and the smell of decay and flesh is present. So by 4 days, there was slippage. Slippage is a term I could have lived my entire life without knowing. It's probably a term that you could have lived your entire life without knowing too. But now you're with me. I share with family. Slippage. There was no doubt that Lazarus was dead. His body had begun to experience slippage. Slippage. This resurrection was real. Martha knew that. She said, "Leave the stone alone. Don't roll it back. We don't want to see what's in there. We don't want to smell what's in there." You know, my first experience with the stench of death came when the body of a young boy, maybe a year or two younger than me at the time, was discovered near a parking lot where we played baseball in my neighborhood. He had been assaulted. He'd been murdered. His body had been left in a wooded area. We used to play baseball on this lot that kind of had a, you know, kind of a parking lot. It went down on a hill. And at the back of the lot was a wooded area. And at the end of the wooded area was a building. And his body was just beyond that part of the building. You know, we smelled the odor of his flesh all day that summer, but we didn't pay it much attention. We're young boys. Until one of the older teens happened upon the body when he went to try to find one of the baseballs that had been hit. The police station was within walking distance. The area was swarmed with police in just in minutes. We, along with many others in the neighborhood, all hung out around the area, parents and children alike, everyone counting heads. Everyone was accounted for. We're not sure who this boy is. And we all hung out there around the parking lot area, around the baseball area there, until they retrieved the body, bringing it out from the bushes in a black body bag. And even as a boy of 12 or 13, as I was at the time, I'll never forget the smell. I never forget the smell. I remember thinking during the weeks that followed, because we didn't hear immediately who this young boy was, we eventually did hear. I remember the weeks that followed in conversation with my dad, after we learned the boy's name, for he was not from our neighborhood, he was from a couple neighborhoods over, having a conversation with my dad about the resurrection and if God could raise Donald Cherry back to life. I remember praying to God that he would bring him back to life, because my dad said, yes, he can bring him back to life. Well, Dad, should I pray about it? Absolutely. If God chooses to bring Donald Cherry back to life, he will. And I remember praying that God would bring Donald Cherry back to life. I never knew who Donald Cherry was. We just had learned his name. But God did not bring Donald Cherry back to life. He didn't. You see, Martha, a very practical woman in grief, did not understand that Jesus Christ was the resurrection. She had the resurrection standing there with her. Standing there with her, and she did not totally believe. Did not totally believe. Her focus was on the smell, on reality of death. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would believe. What went through Martha's heart and mind at that instant? In her mind and in her heart, she must have thought, oh no. Uh-oh. What's about to happen? Is this possible? Is Jesus Christ actually going to resurrect my brother? You can imagine her mind going through circles at that time, her eyes welling up with water, overflowing with water. I wanted that to happen for Donald Cherry. I wanted to pray about them and have those mourning parents receive their young boy back. Just like Martha and Mary did. Jesus Christ is saying the same thing to us on this Feast of Trumpets. Do you believe? Do you believe that I am the truth? I am going to return and that I am the resurrection. I am. God says to each of us regarding the Feast of Trumpets, the saints of God shall be resurrected. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. This is here so that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ shall return. Jesus Christ shall resurrect. Do we believe? Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, loose him let them go. On this Feast of Trumpets, if we remain faithful, God shall call your name. On the Feast of Trumpets, proclaimed by this day, he'll call your name. He'll call my name. David Jackson, come forth. And the power of his voice, the power of that sound will rattle through the earth. And wherever me is from a physical perspective, we'll gather together, probably bone upon bone, flesh upon flesh. And just for that instant, then Jesus Christ will transform me, will transform you from physical to spiritual. At a sound of an incredible clash, you shall be changed. Do you believe? Do you believe? Yes, we pray for Christ's return to this earth, thinking maybe, just maybe, we'll be in physical life, that we'll be physically alive at that time. But it is very likely that we will be in the grave, our spirit having returned to God who gave it, our body having undergone the process of decay and slippage, and we return to dust. That's very likely where we'll be when Christ returns. But that's all right. That's okay. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. It must be the resurrection as proclaimed by the Feast of Trumpets that we look forward to. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, he says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be without knowledge. I don't want you to be without hope. I don't want you to be without understanding regarding this. I want you to know and know that you know. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. This is a promise. Do you know it? Do you know it? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, because see, the Apostle Paul thought at that time that they would be alive when Jesus Christ returned. As a young boy, I thought that I would be alive when Jesus Christ returned, never get married, have children, etc. Now I'm pretty sure in my own thinking that I'll likely be in the grave, and that's okay. That's okay. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are sleeping or are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, and those who are alive and remain at that time, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air as he is descending to the Mount of Olives, as we read, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. As sure and certain was the resurrection of Lazarus, the same shall be our resurrection. Not back to physical life, but back to or into spiritual life as a spirit being on the Feast of Trumpets, proclaimed by this day. Proclaimed by this day. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. This is a marvelous day. This is a wonderful day. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Those who are faithful on this day shall be changed, as proclaimed by this day, shall be changed. Do you know it? Do you believe it? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound teruah. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is where our focus must be. Yes, every one of you should work. All of our young people here should work. All of our teenagers and preteens, those in college should work hard in your careers. Obtain the level of education you desire. Marry or stay single or whatever you choose. Have a wonderful family. Plan your finances. Plan your savings. Plan your health and life insurance. Make decisions you must around your health care and that of your family. Choose vaccines and no vaccines. Choose this medical treatment, not that medical treatment. You make that choice, but plan for your care of your parents as they age. Develop your own retirement strategy. Plan for your death. That is what God would require of us. Not to crawl into a hole somewhere, fearful about Christ's return. Plan. Because you know you've been told beforehand. But most importantly, plan for the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Plan for the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Why? Because of what it says, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Jesus Christ shall return. Jesus Christ shall resurrect. That is where our focus must be, no matter the age or the time in which we live. One last section of scripture. Let's go back to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 5. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 5. The last third of verse 5. Here in Zechariah 14, the last third of verse 5 says this. Thus the Lord my God will come. Thus the Lord my God will come. And all the saints with you. Wow! How marvelous, how beautiful, how wonderful. That's the truth. Verse 6. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. Why will the lights diminish? Because the glory and power and the light of Jesus Christ, the glory and light and the power of the saints of God will outshine the sun. The light itself will diminish in our brightness on that day. Verse 7. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at eventime it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. In that day we shall have the name of the Lord our God emblazoned upon us. One name. One name. The entire family of God. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. And the feast of trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. There will be challenging days ahead, family. No doubt about that. But keep working towards the future as if it all depends on you. Keep working towards the future as if it all depends on you. And keep praying and growing in spirit and the character of God as though it all depends on God. Because ultimately, it all depends on God. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ's return. I will come again. And the Feast of Trumpets proclaimed the truth of the resurrection. I will receive you to myself. How blessed are we to know the truth that the Feast of Trumpets proclaim. Have a wonderful and glorious rest of the Feast of Trumpets. What a glorious day to look forward to.